could have ever imagined that, you know, private equity groups would be basically fighting each other for plumbing, air conditioning and electrical companies. I think it's fantastic that, you know, we have made so many people independently wealthy and created generational wealth through the trades. You know, I just think that plumbers, air conditioning guys, electricians and the guys that run the companies, they work so hard and they risk so much to get to where they've got to, or to, you know, in order to get the attention of the PE groups, you have to be pretty good at what you do.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. It is the week of Thanksgiving. Turkey Day, as some might call it. And our guest does not celebrate it. Man, I wonder why he does not celebrate it. Well, I guess you'll find out soon. He's been a guest on here before. But before I bring him up, I do not want to forget to mention my lovely co-host, the Cornucopia Commander himself, the King of Cranberry, Mr. Chad Peterman. Chad, how you doing, buddy? It's the week of Thanksgiving. Are you excited?
I am doing pretty well, although given that this may be the first time I've seen you in any color other than orange or black, you're really throwing my eyesight off. And if the King of Cranberry, I think, should go to you with that sweatshirt on.
Oh, the Cornucopia Commander, I felt real good about.
That was good. I'll take that one. You take the King of Cranberries.
Deal. Well, it's good to see you, man. Yeah, actually, you know, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, Arizona Cardinals fans don't rep very often, but when you get the opportunity, you know, like we have now, we're kind of, you're not embarrassed to wear the, you know, today I'm supporting it. Plus it's kind of, you know, a slower week, you know, it feels laid back. I'm in a pair of Yoris and the, you know, a hoodie. So I'm feeling very relaxed. And I'm excited, you know, to have another episode with our guest, Alan O'Neill, who was on before, back in February of 2021. Was in a different seat at that time. Still part of the Wrench Group royalty, we'll call it. Man, I'm on one. It's just going to keep going. But because, you know, he's, you know, by way of Dublin, you know, he's not a Thanksgiving guy. But, hey, he is thankful. I'm certain of that for the home services industry. And, of course, this podcast, because it teaches all of you listeners so much. And he is a wealth of knowledge. Now sits in the consultant role for Wrench Group. Still consulting with Abacus, which is in Houston and Austin. Fantastic company. Super early to the game in the whole home services private equity deal back with Colin. That whole deal to Ken. And, like, that was cool. So we were a part of all that. Alan, Chad, just so you know, back in the day when we were still working with Abacus, he actually was on early enough that he worked with Anna directly. I was not a part of it. He worked with Anna Yano directly. So one of the lucky winners of that deal. But Alan, it's good to have you back on the show, my friend.
It's great to be here, Chris. Thanks for asking me to come on.
In the consultant role today, my goodness, life is good for Alan O'Neill right now.
It certainly is, Chris. It certainly is. Like, it's been a long haul, Chris. So I'm thankful to have some time. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I'm very thankful to have some time to spend with the family and the grandchildren. So, and still be involved in the business to keep the juices flowing. So it's the best of both worlds, actually.
So you still get to scratch the itch a little bit, but you got to be in there all the time. You still get to share your wisdom and hope that they take your advice.
Exactly. If they don't, Chris, well, what can I do? You know?
You can lead a horse to water.
Absolutely.
Lead a horse to water. So, you know, for some of those listening to, I just want to hit on a couple of quick things too before I get into asking Alan some questions from his now consultant role, but all his tenure in the trades, because, you know, came from Dublin. If you missed this first episode and you want to hear more of his background, it's actually a really incredible story. That was episode 58. Back in the day. But again, it was episode 58 back in February. So if you want to go back and look for it, you can listen to Alan's story and hear more about all of his come up. But you know, we just, I guess this would have been a week or so ago, a little over a week and a half or so ago, had a fight that happened between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. And then I heard after that fight, you know, we all were hoping that Mike Tyson was going to knock Jake Paul. I think the entire world really wanted that to happen. I think it became pretty clear about round two-ish that was probably not going to be the case. But I did hear afterwards that yet again, Mr. Jake Paul says, Hey, Conor McGregor, what do you think? And I think Conor probably laughed it off, but, you know, he likes to make money too. So him and Jake think alike that way. But what do you think? I mean, did you pay attention to any of that stuff, Alan?
I did. You know, I was a curious onlooker, Chris. Of course, you know, wondering how Tyson would perform after the, you know, after such a long layoff and at the age he is today. But let me tell you, I am Irish, and of course Conor McGregor is Irish, and I absolutely think he's a certified lunatic. I mean, absolutely way out there. So
I actually looked into having him come to Rhino X 2025 and speak, because it is geared around the greatest showman of the industry, and you want to feature some of the greatest showmen in their industries, and certainly Conor fits into that role for UFC. But he is a certified lunatic, and I think that's kind of what would make it fun, you know. And they would have another big draw. Okay, I'm going to move on to something more important. Thank you for indulging in that. And Conor, if you're listening, and I'm certain he probably is, you should probably take that fight.
You didn't really mean that, Conor, just in case.
Okay, so. Just briefly, again, like we were talking about pre-podcast, Alan, maybe just share with listeners real quick, you know, fast, you know, hey, Abacus into, you know, your consultant role as you sit today, and then I'll start going and asking some questions from there.
Yeah, so I founded Abacus in 2003, Chris, plumbing only. Ran it for 9 years. We were sitting about 11, 12 million in sales. By chance, met Colin Hathaway, who was looking to acquire a company at the time. He already had Berkey's in the Dallas area. Launched with Colin in February of 12. Pretty quickly, actually a month after we closed the deal, we started doing air conditioning work. You know, continued to grow, and eventually, of course, Alpine were the backers at that time. They were backing the deal. And then Alpine eventually sold us on to InvestCorp in 2015. And that's when we became the Wrench Group. So I ended up being the regional CEO for Texas. So I had Abacus, I had Berkey's, I had Baker Brothers in Dallas. And eventually I launched an Abacus branch in Austin, Texas. And so that was my role, Chris, from, you know, really from 2012 on. I was taking care of Abacus and Berkey's pretty much from the start. And so the regional role was my role all the way through 2022, when I talked to Ken and said, look, I'd like to slow down a bit. Ken said, look, we, you know, really don't want to lose you. We'd love you to stay involved. So we decided I would consult to Abacus. And Tony Patino, the new president at Abacus, has done a fantastic job. But as we all know, and I'm sure Chad can relate to, it can be a lonely spot sometimes sitting at the top of these larger companies. And I think Tony's grateful to have me come in once a week. And I'm grateful that, you know, I was lucky enough to come across an individual as talented as Tony, because I had a succession plan in my mind for several years before we actually did it. But Tony stepped up. Tony was the implementer of Service Titan in our business. He's just done a fantastic job. And it's nice to go in there. I usually go in on a Wednesday and I sit with Tony and he shares the good news, the bad news and everything in between. And we talk through it and come up with a game plan and we move on. So it's been honestly been the best of both worlds for me. I think it's valuable for Tony. It's great to still be involved with the Wrench Group. I think it's probably, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's the best private equity outfit out there. And it's been great. It's honestly been great.
And Tony came from outside the industry, right? Well, didn't you come from?
Yeah, it's like interesting, Chris. So I have a record of bringing people, our leadership in from outside. Our first GM was a woman from the transportation industry. Then I brought in a lady to be GM from the oil industry. Tony was actually, before he worked for us, worked for a moving company, Three Men Movers. And prior to that, he worked for Aramark Uniform. So no background in the trades at all. But what I found when you bring leadership in from outside our industry is they ask very interesting questions and they challenge your train of thought. And I found that very valuable as I was growing Abacus to the size it is today, you know?
Yeah, we've been talking about that the last few episodes, just on people coming from outside the industry and things like that. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. I didn't know about who'd you say? I knew about the GM who came from the oil and gas industry, but who was the first one that you said?
Yeah, it was a lady called Lori Johnson. We actually moved her from California to Houston to take the role. And she was GM for 2 or 3 years, Chris, and did a really solid job. But eventually, she really started missing her grandkids in California and decided to move back. So, couldn't fault her for that really at all. I mean, she did a great job while she was there. We were thankful to have her, and wished her well, and still keep in contact with her today. We talk occasionally.
Yeah. Alan, what would you say just because this has been a topic, I feel like, on the last couple that we've done of as far as like bringing people from the outside, what would you say like the three people, and this can be very kind of high level, but what are some of the things or some of the leadership qualities that you feel like they had that made them a really good fit in the business, having, you know, no prior industry knowledge, but just were able to come in and do a really great job?
Well, you know, I think one quality or one piece of experience they all had in common was they all came from a blue collar environment. So, you know, Lori was in the transportation industry. She was dealing with truck drivers. Molly, our next GM, she came from the oil industry, but she was dealing with the technicians that work on the rigs for a company called Rignet. And then Tony was dealing with, you know, guys moving furniture for people moving home. And so they all had that blue collar, they knew how to relate to the blue collar workforce. As I was building Abacus, one quality I think I brought to the table was I could relate to the guys because I'm a plumber myself. Like I grew up on the tools. And so it was really important to me as we brought leadership into the company that we brought people in that could relate to the, you know, we weren't looking for executives that didn't like these little guys running around fixing stuff, right? And I wanted people that could really get in and have a conversation with these guys and relate to what they went through day in, day out, working in excessive heat and you know, the technical aspect of it. And you know, I think it is a challenge when people come from outside the industry. The techs initially treat them with the greatest of suspicion. We've just done it so often now that they just go, okay, we'll you know, time will tell how good of a leader this person is. And we've been fortunate to bring in some really good leadership from outside the industry, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that our leaders that have come from outside the industry, it's this, you know, whereas I think so often the, you know, the philosophy is, hey, they're just out there doing their work and, you know, they just need to do whatever we say, where the ones that have been really successful are the ones who have taken and said, you know what, they are our product. That is what we are selling on a day in, day out basis, is we are selling the skilled labor that these ladies and gentlemen are so very good at doing. And we need to elevate that. And so how do I support that? How do I, you know, we ask them to do so many things day in, day out. It's like, how do we pull some of that stuff off or make it easier for them so that they can go out there and really do what they love to do?
Yeah, it's a tough business, Jared. You know, like, I mean, Houston, you know, different than Indianapolis. I'm sure Indianapolis has the challenges in the winter. We have the challenges in the summertime, right? 130, 140 degree attics. And you know, as we were onboarding these people, I made sure I spent a good deal of time explaining to them that, look, guys, this is like doing your work in a sauna, you know, for most of the year in Houston. We, you know, if somebody says they're tired or they need a day off, they're probably tired and they need a day off, right? So, you know, let's make sure we're relatable. Let's make sure we show empathy to the field people, and you know, really never had a problem with that. To be honest with you, they seem to get it pretty quickly, and I think the fact that they came from a blue collar workforce in a different industry helped significantly, you know.
And that had to have been a hell of a change for you coming from Dublin to Houston.
You know, it's funny. The first day I came and I got a job with a small plumbing company in Houston that happened to be members of Contractors 2000 at the time, which is now Nexstar, right?
Yep.
But I remember going out with a guy. His name is Charlie Brown. He still works for us today in Abacus. So he followed me when I started Abacus. But I remember digging a trench with Charlie Brown to fix a sewer line and cutting the water hose down the back of my shirt because I thought I'd died and gone to hell, you know. And, you know, lots of days going home with cramps, asking myself, what am I doing here? Like, why did I leave? When I left Ireland, Chris, I don't know if I ever said this to you before, but when I left Ireland, there was a heat wave. It was May 1996, and I wish I'd have saved the newspaper. There was a weather report in the newspaper that says Ireland sweats in the sizzling 70s. And little did I know what I was coming to, but you know, there we go.
Sweats in the sizzling 70s. It's that here right now.
Yeah, that's a cool day in Houston.
Jeez. Yeah. I know we talked a lot about, you know, a lot about like your history and the transition over. And again, I can't encourage you listeners enough to go back and listen to episode 50. It was a really great episode, not just about the history, but then some of the stuff we got into. But that just made me think about it when you're talking, you know, about these guys getting in these 130, 140 degree attics, such a significant change. Because if you remember, Alan, on that episode, it was a little less than a year that I was in Dublin. The whole pandemic hit and I was in Northern Ireland and I was stuck. And then so I had a detour from going over to Scotland straight down to Dublin, but I did, you know, I did get to hit the Temple Bar, before they closed. That was like the only thing open. So everybody was in the Temple Bar that night.
Right.
But I got, you know, and I thought, hey, here comes Rhino Ireland. Like we're about to start it up. And then I was like looking for, you know, HVAC companies I could go. I'm like, where the hell are all these HVAC companies? I could find a lot of plumbers.
There are no HVAC companies, Chris. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. I understand why you came from the plumbing trade.
Absolutely.
So real quick, where will, just for frame of reference for all of our listeners who maybe haven't heard of Abacus, where will Abacus finish roughly this year, just in overall top line revenue?
Yeah, about 85 million in Houston and around 27 million in Austin. So, you know, whatever that is, 80, 85 and 30, 125.
And both are plumbing HVAC?
Both are 115. Both plumbing, HVAC, and electrical.
And electrical. Gotcha. Okay. So the Holy Trinity. That's what we
call. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
and generators has become a big thing for us, Chris, obviously with the storm. So the demand for generators in Houston and Austin right now is pretty incredible. So we've launched a generator division and are doing really well. Huge backlog of generators to install.
Yeah, generator business has been fantastic. I've started looking at it more and more. And it's like a really good lead to go after, a fairly decent cost per lead when all of us are looking for any fairly decent cost per lead in the digital space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great little, it's like going after water heaters on the electrical side. So, I was getting ready to ask a question and I totally freaking forgot what it was. Oh, do you do,
Are you guys doing or have you dabbled ever at all in insulation?
Yeah, we do insulation on the HVAC side. So we have an IAQ division that does insulation and all the other IAQ products. But we found that, Chris, most homes we went to install HVAC systems were very poorly insulated. So the blow-in insulation is a pretty easy add-on for us. And we do a fair amount of it, yeah. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of HVAC companies kind of overlook. And it's not big money per job, but it significantly adds to the ticket if you do enough of it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Chad and I have been talking about this over, God, I don't even know. It feels like a while we've been talking about just insulation in general. And, I don't know if you know this or don't know this, but, you know, Chad and I actually, you probably saw I started a roofing company really. Yeah. Well, Chad's my partner in that. So.
Okay, great.
And another one of our friends. But we kind of talked about the same thing in the roofing industry. Is like, I wonder if we could have added in, we could do an add-on insulation to that as well. I mean, we're up on roofs. So it just seems like a really great add-on business. And it does seem like maybe it gets overlooked. Or maybe people think it's too complicated. I don't know. Like I said, we're still kind of like talking through it too. But I just was curious to see if you did it and what your thought was on it.
Well, I know Colin's company in Seattle, Guardian Roofing, that he owns up there, they just, well, fairly recently launched into gutters. Gutters is a great add-on if you're in the roofing business. You know, I think there's a very low level of sophistication in that industry, Chris. So
that's actually a good point. I should connect with Colin on that and just get his take on the insulation side. So I'll take that as a takeaway, Chad. I will shoot a text message to Colin. Hey, real quick, I'm going to jump into just a few like offer type stuff that you guys have historically done at Abacus. And I'm sure Chad, this will kind of trigger Chad to ask a few things. Like one of Chad's, I'm assuming Chad, this is still one of your main go-tos, is like the free, you know, free furnace. The free furnace offer that you guys do at Peterman Brothers is like, been a very successful, you know, call to action for these guys. In Indianapolis or in Indiana in general, or I guess they're all across Peterman Brothers. But you guys have your, like the HVAC buyback offer that you have rolled out is, like it's like save up to $4,000 or $5,000, something like that. I can't figure out the offer's an HVAC buyback, or I'm assuming there's a furnace buyback, you know, when you guys get. Is Abacus still rolling that? Has that like been the go-to offer?
No, you know, we've kind of gotten away from that the last couple of years, Chris. What we're really focused on in this last year, we just launched, we basically redid our service agreement completely. We had three separate service agreements. So we had an air conditioning agreement, plumbing and electrical agreement. But we launched one VIP agreement, which basically gives the customer all three trades. And they can choose where they want their inspections. So they can have, you know, it's set up for four inspections. So ideally, two HVAC, one electrical, one plumbing. They can have four inspections on the HVAC system if they want. They can have two on plumbing, two on HVAC, whatever they want. What I think's been really interesting about that, and it's been more on the plumbing side, but if you're a VIP member, you get free drain cleaning. So we're, you know, if you're signed up as a VIP member, we're cleaning drains for free for you. The amount of underground work that has led us to has been really unbelievable. A little bit of pushback from the plumbing group at the start about that, because they thought they were going to be running free drain calls all the time, you know. And of course, there are customers that, you know, maybe abuse it a little bit, but we have found that the focus on the VIP plan, including really getting down to servicing the HVAC system properly and doing a really thorough inspection and really thorough service on the system, has just naturally led to more HVAC work. Now, don't get me wrong, 2024 has been a tougher year than I think any year in the last 10, I would say. Chris, in the HVAC business in Houston, we had good weather, but it just seemed like calls were getting harder and harder to come by this last year. So we haven't really had a go-to offer per se. We've been really focusing on building the VIP program, getting better and better at service work, and making sure we were really expanding the offer when we get in to do an HVAC maintenance check, you know.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. So I have a feeling I know where you got the free drain cleaning ad. Jonathan Bancroft was up here visiting last week, and we were talking through this. How do you guys market that? Are you putting out there free drain cleaning for members, or do you guys put out a low dollar offer, hope to convert them to a member and say, oh yeah, by the way, your drain call today is free? How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, so we have the $99 drain cleaning special. I mean, basically, Chad, every call that we go on, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but every call we go on is an opportunity to get someone involved in the VIP membership. Once we get them involved in the VIP membership, you know, obviously they now have access to free drain cleaning, but we don't market just free drain cleaning. We market the VIP program and the free drain cleaning as a feature of the VIP program. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly what Jonathan said. And I thought it was such a great point, is that you don't get drain cleaning with the VIP. The drain cleaning is free in addition to the membership. So there's some psychology behind that, which I thought was very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you're dead on. That's exactly where we snatched the free drain cleaning from, was Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. I figured if I've heard it twice in 2 weeks, it's probably something to consider at this point in time. So that is my takeaway. How do I figure this out?
Rob and duplicate.
Yeah.
Or borrow and duplicate. Hey, now you guys are also, and I'm not sure how much you are or aren't involved with this personally, but you guys are either rolling out Smart AC or going to roll out Smart AC. Is that right?
Yeah. We are.
Kelly?
Yeah, we're rolling it out on a test basis at Parker and Abacus. Basically, you know, on behalf of Wrench, we're rolling it out in two of the bigger locations. And so far, so good. Very positive feedback on it, Chris.
Is it something that you are going to, or that you're thinking, say it pans out, that will become now part of the VIP membership somehow or something like that too?
It already is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like feature of VIP. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes the most sense. Chad, real quick, just because we talked about it, just for the listeners too, let's not assume all of them know what your little free furnace deal is. Like, let's chat about it super fast. Like, just kind of explain that to everybody.
Yeah. So the way we think about it is we typically run it in our off months. So think here in the Midwest, you know, end of August, usually September, October, it's pretty mild weather. In fact, November has proven it's almost 70 degrees here today. I'm wearing shorts and it's almost Thanksgiving. So it's supposed to get cold next week. But so we run in the off months, and the thinking behind it is, in your off months, you're going to have to get a little more scrappy to win work. And so what we decided was, well, rather than not get into homes, because there isn't any reason for me to have you out if it's 70 degrees and I don't have my furnace on, the thought was, well, why don't we just show the discount that we're probably already going to give this customer to win the work once we get in the home? The hope is we get into more homes and we're upfront with, hey, this is on this particular system, we're willing to give you the cost of the furnace for free. We're still going to charge you to put it in, and you've got to buy an air conditioner with it too. It's led to a lot of great work with us. There is some explaining to do. You know, you always get the critics of, it's not really free, it's not this, that, and the other. And it's like, no, actually, we just do that. It's pretty simple, and that way everybody's on the same page. I'm not asking my guys to, you know, present some fraudulent deal or something like that. It's essentially, this is what the price is typically. When we subtract out the cost of the furnace, here's what your price is. That is your discount. And would you like to move forward with it? It positions us, so that's on the deal is typically on just a base unit. So it's, you know, the option one. And so what we see is a lot of people are like, oh, okay, well, I get that. But I maybe want to get something nicer or, you know, something that's a little bit more efficient or whatever the case may be. So we see the people jumping out of that. We got in the door with a particular offer, but we, you know, end up selling more middle of the road systems, it seems, over the years. I would say that, you know, it's worked really well. We've tried it with free AC, doesn't work as well. It's for whatever reason, it seems to be the furnace is the hot item. I've ran just about every promotion you possibly can for leads on new systems. It's far and away the best one that we've ever ran. I've tried a bunch of different stuff and nothing seems to move the needle quite like it does.
So if somebody takes option three, they still get that same, we'll call it the discount, and then they pay the gap. Is that what that is? Or is that how?
Yeah. So I can't remember how we do it nowadays, but it's kind of like they get a credit towards like, hey, you didn't get this deal on the base system, but you get a credit of, I can't remember what it is. You get a credit for that if you want to go up into a different tier.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I just figured, you know, there's probably some people on here who don't know what the hell we're talking about. So maybe
we should
talk to it real quick. You know, one thing that's interesting, I will say, you know, with in the spirit of, you know, Thanksgiving that's coming up is for our listeners, you are maybe some of you are actually thinking, man, I'm really going to go after those Black Friday deals. But Friday is also known as another day in the plumbing industry. And that's Brown Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So if you are trying to, if you're sitting there thinking, Brown Friday. Well, it's not because, you know, the colors of fall or Thanksgiving are brown, orange, and yellow. You can put two and two together. It is the day after Thanksgiving. Usually a pretty lucrative day in the plumbing industry. So in the spirit of talking about offers or discounts, I have never, in my 17 years of experience of marketing plumbing companies, ever marketed to Brown Friday. Have either of you ever participated in the marketing of Brown Friday?
We haven't, Chris. I'm thinking back here. I don't think we've ever tried that, but you don't need to. It happens quite naturally. So it all just develops, right? So
that actually was a perfect answer for that.
Yeah. We've never done it either. I feel like typically that day is a day that a lot of people take off. So you're trying to run kind of short staffed and trying to make things happen. So driving more calls can maybe create other problems.
Yeah.
That's funny. At least it is to me. But I have seen it, but I just never personally have ever done it. So that actually brings up a really good point, Chad. Like folks are trying to take the time off. You know, but hey, when nature takes its course, somebody's got to be there. Who better? Okay, I'm going to do a little bit of a pivot. Actually, something I was going to ask early on, and I forgot about it was, Alan, did you see the article that came out recently in the Wall Street Journal around America's new millionaire class being plumbers and HVAC entrepreneurs? Did you see that article?
I did, Chris. Yeah, I did.
Man, that was a awesome like publicity for the trades. So it was pretty cool to see that come out in the Wall Street Journal. It's got to be a little extra special, I think, for you having gotten into that. Like, I really consider that Colin Hathaway wrench thing the earliest of early, like the of the players. I think that like were one of the main players in this roll up space. It's got to be extra cool for you to have read that article knowing you were really at the front of that deal.
And I think, Chris, like, when I think back to 2012 and doing that deal with Colin, I could have never imagined that what was to follow, right? And the way the multiples were going to, you know, just go up and up and up and up. I have zero regrets that I did that deal when I did it, Chris. I mean, I think it was perfect for me. And I've only tried since doing it. But who could have ever imagined that, you know, private equity groups would be basically fighting each other for plumbing, air conditioning, and electrical companies? I think it's fantastic that, you know, we have made so many people independently wealthy and created generational wealth through the trades. You know, I just think that plumbers, air conditioning guys, electricians, and the guys that run the companies, they work so hard and they risk so much to get to where they've got to, or to, you know, in order to get the attention of the PE groups, you have to be pretty good at what you do, right? And so I think, yes, we were very early. Who could have imagined what was to follow? And I just think it's the greatest thing in the world when I hear these stories about people, you know, selling. And then people like Chad who have said, you know, no, I want to continue to do what I'm doing, and let's see how big I can grow it. It's an unbelievable opportunity. I will tell you, I kind of enjoyed it being a secret for a long time. You know, I think it's really cool that all this wealth is in the trades, and really nobody had a clue what was going on unless you were in the trades. But, you know, I think it's very well deserved. Everybody that's done the deal, everybody that's grown a company to the size of, for example, Chad's, unbelievable amount of work, unbelievable amount of sleepless nights and heartache that goes with it. You know, it's so much work. It's so much work. And I think you should be rewarded for it. And kudos to everybody that has been rewarded for it.
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blue On users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts, only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blue On, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blue On. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, I remember, Chad, I forget what, I don't know if we were having a Redbird call or whatever it was, but you and I were on a call on a Saturday, and you were sitting right in that exact same seat. I think it was a Saturday. And it was like I can't remember what day it was. You remember that? And I was like, Chad, what the hell are you doing, man? You're at the office? And you're like, yeah, nobody's in here today. I can actually get some things done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually a couple of weeks ago. I was running a pilot test on some follow-up strategies that we were doing. It was actually on my birthday. And my wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, like, I really enjoy this. And my parents had taken the kids, and she was out working. And I was like, hey, I'll just go to the office and get some things picked up. But yeah, I mean, Alan's right. I mean, I think that there's so much hard work that goes into it. It's, you know, I often feel like you're juggling 100 balls in the air, making sure everybody's happy and everybody's where they should be and our customers are happy and we don't have any issues and weather and all of these things that I think that, I'm with him on the, you know, I think it's deserved. And some may argue that the multiples may not be deserved or whatever it may be, but I think it's interesting just to see it. I think it's also, in my opinion, private equity's entrance into the space has only made everyone better. That's the reason why, you know, you have two software tools as sponsors of the podcast, Rilla and Chirp. Well, like, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing to help our businesses out if they hadn't been introduced by all of this kind of publicity around it. And so I think it's interesting, and I think it's really kind of just elevated the level. Is there's so many tools out there, there's so many, you know, groups, and everybody's helping each other, and we're all getting better, that I think that it's really kind of interesting to think about how far the industry has come, call it in, you know, 4 or 5 years from when kind of, you know, right there around COVID, when private equity exploded into the industry, and where we are today. What's it look like in 5 years? I mean, that to me kind of blows my mind as far as like what we could be doing and the tools that we have and all of the opportunity that could still be out there. We could just be scratching the surface, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you bring up a good point. Maybe I'll just, you know, kick that over to Alan. Thanks for a nice little shout out to our sponsors chat. That was what.
That's right. Hey, I'm here to help.
Very good. Very good. But there has been a lot of, a lot of emerging technologies come out that have been great. But there's a bunch, right? And it's like, you know, and I know Chad will talk about how it's like shiny object, you know, where you kind of, oh, this one looks cool, this looks cool, but then you kind of half-ass implement them when you do it because you've now got too many things, so maybe you just need to focus on a couple. But is there anything that you have been paying attention when it comes to like emerging technologies, Alan? Is there anything that you've been paying attention to, or anything that's like exciting you? That and by the way, it doesn't have to be our sponsors, so I feel no need to say.
Obviously, Chris, I think AI is going to play a big role in how we interact with customers going forward. You know, I think the smart AC thing is very interesting. I think every time you can have a customer interact with an app and you're branded on the app right in front of them, it's interesting. There's lots of new thermostats out there that are, you know, you've heard the term real estate in the customer's home. So I think because of all the interest in our industry, you know, groups like Rilla and Chirp and people like that, There's going to be more and more of it enter the industry. It's going to be interesting to see what survives, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and what the space looks like 10 years from now or 5 years from now. Is there going to be one or two absolutely monster groups out there that have the lion's share of the industry? Or is it going to be the same number of PE groups that's in there today? Like, I can see, obviously, someone's going to go public. One of these groups is going to go public or more. I think you may see some combination of groups in the future where groups combine. So I don't know. It's just an interesting time to be sitting and watching what's going to happen next. And how many, like, will roofing get rolled up the way plumbing, air conditioning, and electrical has? What's next? Because I think one thing the PE groups have learned is that this home services industry, and of course they have the three big ones, right? But is roofing next? What's after that? I just think it's going to be a very interesting. I think whatever's going to happen is probably, Chad said 5 years. I think the next 5 years is when you're going to see some major moves. I don't know what they are, but I think it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it is going to be exciting. And, you know, I think that I strongly believe that roofing is in the early phases of that process. I think so. Yeah, just from like the different action that we're seeing and different conversations that we're having. And so, which is why we felt like dabbling in the roofing industry felt right. Off to a good start. So then let me finish with just this, because I think we're roughly 45, 50 minutes into this deal already. 45 minutes looks like. you know, I want to, you know, because you'll have some sage advice, having been, you know, in the industry for quite some time and seen it from a lot of different views on the mountain. And you think you said your term was you grew up on the tools, which means he was actually, you know, in the home working on the things himself. Like he was a plumber. But what are you paying? Well, I mean, I'm assuming in the seat, your consultant seat that you're in now, it's probably a little more fun, a little less stressful, which might give you the opportunity to kind of like think about, you know, down the road a little bit more, just about the industry as a whole. But like, is there anything that you're paying close attention to in today's climate? Is there like just anything that you're saying, hey, we need to make sure that we're keeping an eye on X, Y, Z? And I'm not just talking technology. I'm just talking anything in general, whether it be training, best practice groups, offerings, equipment, just, you know, inflation, anything. I mean, now that we know who our next president is going to be, is there anything that you've been paying attention to in the industry that you might be able to share with the listeners?
I think something we all need to pay attention to is the next generation of our workforce, Chris. I think we're not doing a good enough job as an industry at bringing people up through the trades. You know, you spoke to Jonathan, he's got a school. But that's very much not the norm in our industry. And like, coming from Europe and from Ireland, look, we had a very structured apprenticeship program to become a plumber in my case, or whatever the trade might be. But we don't have that here. And so we're depending on putting guys in trucks and hoping they learn. And I'm talking about the majority of the industry. The more cutting edge companies are doing a better job. But I think we have to pay attention to making sure that next generation and the generation following them are trained properly. They understand the soft skills as well as the technical skills. And we just have to do a better job of training across the board. I think that's one thing that always kind of plays on my mind, that I just wonder, are we doing enough with today? From a technology point of view, I wonder, are we going to have humans answer the phone here 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Like, I just think that the AI stuff is so interesting and so many people are dabbling in it. I don't know if anyone has perfected it yet, but I think eventually call centers may be a thing of the past. I think it may be all done through AI or some other form of technology, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. Not sure I'll care that much about it 10 years from now, Chris, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
That's fair. You've earned the right to not care.
Yeah.
And 10 years from now. Yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, is it the same in Ireland or the UK? Like, is the same issue of folks not wanting to get into the trade or not going into the trades, or there's no one trying to steer people in that direction? Is it the same thing over there as it has been here in the States?
Yeah, it is. There's a huge shortage of trades in Ireland, Chris. I own a house in Dublin, and I've just gone through about 18 months of getting work done, and it's been challenging to find it. Now, I got lucky. I think I got good guys and they did what I wanted them to do, but it's so hard to find tradespeople, and it's so hard to schedule appointments, and they're very laid back over there. Like, I remember a conversation with a guy, and I was trying to get someone out to the house, and he said, yeah, we can do it. And I was like, well, like, do you have any idea when? Soon. You know, it was like dragging information out of him. And he's like, we'll call you when we're ready. And I was like, well, does that mean like this week, next week, 3 weeks from now? Like, I'm only there for short periods of time. So anyway, it's interesting. They're years behind in terms of the customer service interaction, but definitely, I can tell you in Europe, especially in Ireland, you know, we have a lot of Eastern Europeans in Ireland now working in the trades, but there's a huge shortage of tradespeople all across Europe. Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be out there in like, I'm not sure if we're going spring break or if we're going summertime, but just give me the, you know, the door code and I'll go and make sure I check on the place for you.
You're a good man, Chris. I appreciate that.
I'll make sure that the Jameson is safe and that the Guinness is cold.
Absolutely. We'll take care of it.
Don't worry. That's what, see, I'm a good friend. I'll take care of you. No problem. I got this.
You are.
So what I'm hearing is it doesn't sound like it takes a lot to really stand out in Ireland to be an exceptional company. You just got to say, hey,
yeah,
I'll be there in 2 weeks is better than I'll get back to you when we're ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy, can you imagine that here? Oh, my God. No way. Although it does feel like that sometimes. Well, listen, Alan, I appreciate you giving us the time. It's always great catching up with you, man. I appreciate you. I know we had to move this thing around a couple different times. I always love catching up with you and getting to hear you, you know, tell everything from your perspective and just hear about the business. And it's cool because, you know, we go back pretty far, you know, and
we do back to the Brickyard days.
Back to the Brickyard days. That's right. Brickyard Marketing was, for those listening who don't know what the hell he's talking about, that was the name of the company before it was Rhino. It was called Brickyard Marketing, named after the, famous Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Brickyard. So only got like a 4 or 5 cease and desist on that name, but works through them all. So anyway, it was good. I'm actually glad I got to introduce two of you. I didn't know that you and Chad had not met yet.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Chad.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'm sure listeners will be able to take quite a bit from it. So appreciate all the work that you've put in to kind of lay the foundation for what a lot of us are doing now and what you still continue to do.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad.
Awesome. Well, listeners, hopefully you enjoyed another great episode here up to the point. And I hope you are preparing for a fantastic Thanksgiving. You know, make sure that you take time to be where your feet are. You know, relax a little bit, spend time with your family, and you can always get back to work on that Saturday if that's what you need to do. But make sure you take time to enjoy, you know, your family and just be thankful for all the things that you do have, right? And that something could just be the fact that you're alive and able-bodied to go and work. So you got no excuse. But, you know, we talked about a few of actual offerings. You know, we talked about the importance of, you know, focusing, you know, in your business on workforce, you know, workforce management. You know, there's, you know, lots of different things that you can do in your business. And the whole point of this podcast is just to give you some more information, and you can pick one that works for you and your business, when you need it. And, you know, one thing I love about a lot of the guests that are coming on here, and specifically, you know, you guys heard me call it Wrench Group Royalty, is there's so many great people in the Wrench Group, so much great leadership and people that are willing like to help if you reach out and talk to them. That's like the whole beauty of Rhino X is bringing people together that are, you know, that are willing to do those things. But, you know, again, you know, the whole point of this podcast for Chad and I just to share things that you can, you know, latch onto and run with to help your business. So hopefully Alan was able to give you some of the things or Chad's free furnace offering and the explanation of that helps you on maybe, you know, wanting to launch that. And obviously if you have any more information on that, you can always hit up Chad on LinkedIn. He'll be able to connect with you and give you some more information. But as I always say, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days